May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I might have actually been one of the few young people in high school and in college who actually cared about what quote-unquote old people thought. I had recognized early on that there's actually some wisdom to be had in accumulated life experience between the moments of dealing with various aches and pains. Psalm 90, similarly, is a psalm that comes across with an air of gray-haired experience. There's something about its chastened attitude concerning the fleeting nature of life and its frank assessment of our sinfulness, both of which, in comparison to our timeless and faithful God, that ends up smacking of a kind of school of hard knocks kind of wisdom. The type of wisdom that we can only earn over time. Once again, we find our psalm this week. It's lodged betwixt end times warnings from our lectionary, and this time with a high focus on God's judgment against the wickedness of human sin. So, like last week, our psalm is comparatively hopeful, even if our years end with a sigh, as our psalmist laments this morning. But it's a hopefulness that's nevertheless born of long experience. Thus, neither the shrugged shoulders over the pervasiveness of humanity's sin, nor the wrath that it incites, nor even our ultimate demise seem to alarm the psalmist. It's part of life. It's the way of the world. People disobey. The world suffers, and then we die. Well, how in the world is that hopeful, Father Lenny, you may ask? Well, first of all, there is no overreacting about the fouled up state of affairs that life without Jesus can produce. There's neither surprise over the messed up situation, nor is blame cast on God for people's mistakes. The cause is assessed correctly, our own individual sins. The results are interpreted aright. Sin leads to destruction and death. And the penalty is counted just. God has every right to limit how much damage each of us can cause. But that's not necessarily fun stuff to hear. We don't really want a frank assessment of the human condition. We want to hear the lie that everything's going to be all right when a terminal diagnosis comes from our doctor's mouth. We want to believe in myths like the American dream, that hard work is all it takes to be successful, or the Christian nation, that any civic benefit that we have is linked to how faithful we are to God. But the reality is that we are all sinners, and we all die, and any blessing that we enjoy is purely a lavish gift of heavenly grace. Any opportunity that we have is a divine act of forbearance. Any fruit that we enjoy from our labor, God made it grow and allowed the circumstances for it to flourish in. Any struggles that we endure, the natural consequence of living in a world in which sinners abdicate their God-given stewardship to selfish ends or demonic inspirations. So to accept the harsh realities of life with a temperate acceptance, not all distraught over how unfair it seems or shaking our fists at God for letting such things happen, well, that is the fruit of long-term faithfulness to God borne out over many years. And our psalmist demonstrates that kind of roll with the punches attitude in spades. He allows his many years of trusting the Lord to become the wisdom of acceptance, living freely within the tensions a sin-soaked world produces. That is the first bit of hopefulness that we can see in this psalm. Now, the second hopeful thing that we can see in this psalm is good news for anyone of any age, of any number of years following Christ. We can look to a God who is eternal, infinite, not bound by the vicissitudes of time and space. The psalm begins with the psalmist extolling a God who has proven to be a bulwark over multiple human lifetimes. He's not limited by our current woes, our geography, our culture, our politics, or even our degree of faith. Anyone can make the Lord their refuge. We can all turn to Jesus and find him to be trustworthy. That is a sure source of comfort in times like this, when party affiliation is as equally divisive as religion and race. Staying up nights and worried over what kind of world we're leaving to our kids and grandkids. Or watching family and friends spiral down, addicted to heroin and alcohol. Or dealing simply with our own struggles with natural body deterioration that accompanies our age. We have plenty of reasons to allow anxiety to well up and overtake our senses. But the God who from generation to generation is still God is the one in whom we can place our full faith and confidence. We can trust him. Recently, I came across an odd little news release. There was an atheist group in Australia that was planning a global conference called Reason to Hope. Well, they had to cancel it due to lack of registrations. Well, of course, well, how would an atheist have hope, someone might say. But before we fall into the snide trap of mocking or relishing that little bit of irony from our supposedly faith-based towers, I'd like us to step back for a second. The vast majority of people in the West daily live with hardly a thought about Jesus in the course of their given days. They eat, love, work, play, struggle, and even do good deeds without having any particular religious affection on their minds. Indeed, many Christians live daily life in ways that are hardly different from atheists, agnostics, or nuns, as they're called, meaning people without any particular religious affiliation. We thrive, survive, or eke out a meager existence every day with hopes that are often centered on the next celebration, the next kiss from our beloved, the next chance to see our families, or the next thrill of an accomplishment at work. So why bother with any supernatural basis for hope at all? If your hope is just to punch a ticket for heaven, but to hell with the world, literally, well, that's not exactly a what would Jesus do kind of attitude, is it? But if we have a sense of connection, a true dependence in a transcendent God as our refuge, well, that makes both this life and the next quite a bit more tolerable, doesn't it? St. Paul once quipped, what a sorry lot that we are if we only have hope in Jesus for this life. Well, I'd like to cautiously add a corollary to that sentiment. If we only have hope in Jesus in the hereafter, but not for now, we're equally as pitiable a bunch. Besides, having faith in a God as great as ours demands a hope that's equally as great. Our hope, our faith, our trust should be as eternal as the one in whom we place it. By the grace of the Holy Spirit within us and among us, we can have such a conviction. And then we end our psalm 90 with a little bit of a prayer from the psalmist. He prays, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Or, in different words, God, help us to take stock of our lives so we might refocus our priorities wisely. Well, one way that we can apply our hearts to wisdom or reprioritize our priorities wisely is to take heart in the collect of the day that we prayed at the beginning of service. Now, I have to admit, this is one of my favorite ones in the entire prayer book. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. If you want hope and life that lasts forever, look to the Bible. Listen to it intently when you hear it read aloud each Sunday. Daily, pick up the scriptures and read them, expecting to meet Jesus there in prayer. Mark, notice, pay attention to those words, phrases, images, and concepts that jump out to you from those holy pages. Learn. Commit to memory, or at least a general recall, the breadth of God's Word written, and inwardly digest the Bible. Reflect on it during the day after you've read it. Spend time with it. Dig into it a little and try to find answers to those nagging questions that you have. Share your insights and or your conundrums with your fellow Christians at church. Let the Bible nourish your hope so you might be able to face the days ahead with confidence and enjoy an eternity in His love, because we serve a timeless God. This morning, don't let despair get the better of you. Dig into the Scriptures. Direct your attention to the God who transcends all things. And let that trust turn into a developed confidence over the years that tempers any extreme reactions you may have used to have. In the end, you'll nurture a solid hope that the Lord is indeed holding all things in the palm of His hand. Let us pray. Lord of all wisdom and truth, assist us by your Holy Spirit to let our hope rest in you over the long haul, especially as we have come to see you transcendent over all the ills of this life by taking to heart the gospel promise that we have in Holy Scripture. Grant this in the strong name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.